KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Buenos dias y bienvenidos. Good morning and welcome. That very poorly pronounced greeting in Spanish is because on today's show, I'm going to be talking with a few people who took part in a recent international service learning trip to the Dominican Republic. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning. My guests today are three students who participated in that trip to the Dominican Republic, Alejandra Zarate, Keith Burgess, and Danny DeMeza. Thanks for being here today, all three of you. So Miguel Perez, who's the faculty member who started and has led this Dominican Republic International Service Learning Trip for the last several years, was going to be with us today, but unfortunately, he's unavailable because of an unavoidable conflict. So Miguel's with us in spirit, but the students are going to be answering some of the questions that I would have directed to Miguel. So let's get started. I guess, Keith, maybe we'll kick off with you. Can you give us a little background on this International Service Learning Project in the Dominican Republic?
Well, Chris, Dr. Perez started the project about 6 years ago, and it ended up becoming a thing for students due to his interaction during training, and it just progressed as things typically do once you make connections, et cetera.
And it's public health, right? I mean, he's a public health faculty member, and most of these projects have all been around public health, correct?
That is correct. He actually went out to the Dominican Republic doing educational training seminars out there, and making his contacts with the professor out there that does an epidemiology class that goes and works out in these bidets. He made a contact, things progressed, and before you knew it, Fresno State students were going out there interacting with the community.
Now, you mentioned the bidets. Can you explain to the listeners, because we're going to use that word a lot, what is the bidets in the Dominican Republic?
Bidets are actually, they're encampments in the Dominican Republic where Haitian immigrants, the majority are, and they work in sugarcane fields out there. So the problem with these areas is that they have limited resources. They're away from the big cities, so they don't get that support that we come to expect here.
And so they're those farm working shanty towns there in the DR where these immigrants are living.
That is correct.
Yeah. So Dr. Perez started this program about 6 years ago, you said, and I'm curious, has he told you much about why he started these programs in terms of, did he see a need in the community that he really wanted to address? Did he see a need in terms of the students' education? Has he ever talked about any of that with you?
He actually went out there himself to conduct trainings in the Dominican.
With locals?
Yes.
Okay.
So he experienced it himself when he went out there to perform these trainings with the epidemiology students. And that's kind of how it came about. The epidemiology instructor gave him an idea saying that he should start an experience of learning to take his students out there.
There's a relatable experience when one goes out to the bidets and experiences it for the first time. It's quite disheartening because you're there and you're seeing this culture of people that's kind of secluded from the rest of society. And it really gives you a passion to kind of try to do something for the communities that need kind of more outreach. And I think his purpose was to have Fresno State students kind of see that perspective, because upon seeing that, your perspective changes immediately. And I feel that perhaps Dr. Perez knew the opportunity that the epidemiology students had there and wanted to relate that to the Fresno State students and try to bring that back here.
So, Keith, I think that probably of the groups that went before you, they've done different projects. And I want to talk a little bit about what your group did. But first, what are some of the other projects that the students have been involved in past years?
Well, I know the first year that students went out, they were focusing on sanitation. However, due to their experience initially, they saw a bigger need, and that was to provide food. So like us, they had a grant with Friends for Civic Engagement. And through a couple of emails, they were able to change that grant from providing trash cans to purchasing food for the bidet residents.
I remember that group and the way that they shifted their project because they recognized the need in the community wasn't for sanitation, it was for food. I mean, we want to keep everything clean and hygienic, but if you don't have food and water, hygiene doesn't matter much.
And that's one of the important things with public health is, you know, we may assume something, but until we actually get out there, do that assessment, we really don't know what the community needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there was a group that went out after that. I think they did a little bit more around Zika stuff. Is that right?
They actually focused on the Zika virus. They handed out mosquito nets to 60 families.
Yeah. And I think Friends for Civic Engagement also provided the funds for those mosquito nets. And I think they've done a lot of other cultural exchange work. I also know that the past groups, and I believe your group did also, work with the university students there in the Dominican Republic. What was that exchange, or what was their role like?
We actually worked with them as well. And at least from my perspective, it was amazing. They bring a whole new viewpoint and interaction just with the residents while we're out there. You know, just being new to a situation, a city, a place, you really don't know how to take that first step in engaging and interacting. And they helped, you know.
It's translation, I'm sure they helped with, you know, just that cultural.
Yeah, they helped bridge the cultural between us. And yes, they definitely, me as, you know, not being a Spanish speaker, definitely helped out a lot. One of the students named Anna basically became like a student leader for her students, and we worked really closely together throughout the entire water distribution and everything, and that was really amazing for me.
So great cultural exchange for your group, right? You hear, you all of a sudden you get a chance to work with students, university students, peers of yours, but who are in the DR, and you must have learned a lot from them and learned more about the culture from just your interactions with those students.
I would say we became close. Not only us Fresno State students became really close throughout the trip, but having these students with us, it became like a family for the entire trip.
We learned more through them. And, you know, even today, we still talk to them every once in a while to see how they're doing. And they taught us a lot, you know, just like Keith said, they provided a whole new, it was a different world, you know. It was something that personally I have never seen before. And coming to Abate and seeing a naked child, you know, that was, it was a humbling feeling to be able to dress the child, you know. And for the students over there in the Dominican, they approach the situation like, you know, there's so many diseases and stuff that occur in the Dominican. Mm-hmm. And so they approach the situation without that in mind, you know, like hold the child. Give the child love because that's all they want from you. And so it's a definitely a humbling experience.
You know, we're so embedded in our old culture that we don't really appreciate what it's like to operate in a completely different environment. And it is very different, right? Oh, yeah, sure. You know, it's still here on Earth. But boy, other than that, very different issues that they're dealing with. And so all of a sudden, you're thrown into this very different dynamic and culture and setting. Danny, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, talking with the students and asking them questions, it gave us a perspective of what it was like to be a student there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a culture shock if you're not from there. So we would ask kind of what's norm, you know, going through some of the things that we saw, they were so different than what we're used to that having a guide to kind of provide, you know, that's kind of normal. That's not, don't do that, you know, because we're going into a culture not really knowing what to expect with certain instances, you know, like some things that we consider normal are probably taboos over there and things like that.
Yeah.
So it was really helpful to especially have students doing the same thing that we're doing and having the same passion, you know, kind of speaking with them and assimilating with them.
And you probably get to know that culture so much better than you would if you were just there as a tourist, no doubt. So Keith, you were a student leader on this trip, and I think that's a really unique role. You helped with all the preparations. You helped to write the grant to Friends for Civic Engagement to get some of the funding for the water filtration units covered. Can you tell us a little bit more about your role as a student leader and what you think you gained from that experience?
As you mentioned, yes, I received a grant from Friends for Civic Engagement, which I want to thank them. As anyone knows, trying to run any kind of project, funding is very crucial to cause any kind of change. We were able to purchase 150 water filters that we took out there, so that helped out tremendously. As far as my experience, it's one of those, you know, very priceless things where we as students are constantly taught through lectures, by reading chapters assigned to us, how to start a project, how to implement a project, etc. I actually did it real world, the ground.
Yeah, you're not just studying in a textbook or writing it, regurgitating it back on a test. You have to do it. And if it doesn't work, you just don't lose a point. You know, the project falls apart.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where you're constantly thinking ahead. You know, it's, oh, this didn't go as planned. What's the next step to get this to work, to get to the outcome that we want to achieve?
I think it's those experiences that students get when they get into these experiential learning activities and international service learning. You have to think on your feet. You've got to be flexible. And it's not just about facts and figures. It really is about utilizing that information in creative ways to be able to reach whatever the goal in front of you is.
That is correct. And I think the biggest thing is definitely interact with the people around you. Because yes, I may have led the aspect, but without my fellow students, there are certain things that I would not have been able to do. The second day, we put together all these filters. We all came out together and made an assembly line and put them all together. As a leader, you always got to remember that it's not just one person that makes things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about those water filtration units that you did. I mean, they were large 5-gallon buckets that were stacked, and then you got the filter in between. Tell us about those. And also, why is that important? What's the need down there that makes those water filters so important for the Batays?
Before I get into the water filters, the very first experience that we saw when we went to the very first bidet was a lady, and she was probably, you know, mid-60s. And she was basically making moonshine. And
that caught your guys' attention, huh? Yeah.
And the reason for this is because the water is so unsanitary that it's safer for them to consume alcohol. So now imagine your child, 2-3 years old, drinking alcohol versus water.
Even the kids.
Yes.
Wow.
So that right there, you know, our very first experience showed the need, displayed it.
The public health impact of that kind of a practice because good potable water is not available. That's frightening. So tell us about these filters. Obviously, the need is there then. There isn't a good source of potable water for the people in the Batays. What did you do?
The filter units, through research and collaborating with other entities that actually have been out there, feet on the ground, working in these communities, I ended up deciding to go with Sawyer 1-point filters. And the reason behind this is because of the simplicity behind it. We're using 5-gallon buckets, which we purchased in the country. So one less thing that we have to bring in, and there's less parts that can break.
And it stimulates the economy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how we constructed it is we use 2 5-gallon buckets for one system. You have the top bucket, which holds your dirty water. And then through gravity, it fed down through the tube to the filter, which puts it into the second bucket, which is clean. And then we have a spigot attached to the bottom bucket.
And those filters filter out all the microbes, the bacteria. They're like these filters that backpackers will use and can put them into a dirty pond of filthy water.
Exactly.
And come out with very drinkable, safe water.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. 150 of these units that you put together, how many residents would those end up serving? Is it like one per family?
What we end up doing, and this is one of the things I talked about, the interaction between us all as students, making those decisions. Like, how are we going to distribute these to the families? We end up going with 30 units a day that we would distribute to the bidets. And we made the decision as a group to focus on pregnant women. And then from that point, we looked at families that had large quantity of children.
Okay.
And that's how we determined how to disseminate these filters in the communities. And then another aspect we looked at is trying to not have these filters side by side, so kind of space them out throughout the community. And we talked to the residents and talked about sharing these filters amongst each other.
Yeah. Allie, your team also offered resident sessions on preventing sexually transmitted infections and unwanted pregnancies. Can you talk a little about that project and why there is such a need for that kind of public health education in the Batays?
We gave several techniques about how to prevent sexually transmitted infections and how to prevent unwanted pregnancies. And so, you know, considering that the Dominican Republic is a very religious country, we started with abstinence. We started with talking about how, you know, no sex before marriage. And then we led it into, if you are in a relationship, you know, talk to your partner. if you don't want to have sex, that's fine. It may even be that it's a mutual decision between both people in the relationship. And then we also gave several demonstrations on how to properly use a condom. We allowed several adolescents in the communities to show us how they think the proper way to use a condom is done. And so we would use a banana and a condom and show them how to properly put a condom on for protection.
Did you run into cultural barriers? You know, people resistant to hearing that or letting their kids listen to that? You know, I say kids, but these are young adults who, just like they are anywhere in the world,
yeah,
they are thinking about that stuff and doing it. So
if anything, I would consider it as the opposite of a barrier. You know, you'd be surprised at when it was time to give presentations to the communities, how many people we actually had in front of us and listen to what we had to say from the very beginning, you know, the abstinence all the way down to showing them how to use a condom properly. So I wouldn't necessarily call it a barrier because, like I said, the Dominican Republic, what their culture says is no sex before marriage. And so we were kind of just reinforcing what their culture already speaks.
Yeah. Okay. So Danny, your turn. You were involved in a really unique service project while you were there, and you kind of became a bit of a rock star because of it. Will you talk about your mural project?
Yeah. A rock star is overstated.
Hey, it's We Had a Hype. It's radio.
I was involved in a community mural project where I went out to the university and for 3 days I painted a mural, kind of just freestyle, and right in the middle of the sunniest door in the whole Dominican Republic, probably. My brushes were melting as I was painting, but it was an effort to kind of revamp the community a little bit. In the area in which I painted, there was a lot of advertisements and things like that, and the university had stressed that they wanted to cover it up. And as well, there were also community organizations around the block that were looking to revamp and possibly start painting murals. So the first one was kind of like the momentum for hopefully more murals to come.
Yeah.
And to kind of revamp the communities with kind of something more cultural that says something about the people and, you know, inspires people to continue kind of with arts and their own culture.
So Community Beautification Project, and we'll post pictures of that mural to our Fresno State Service in Action Facebook page. You did that freehand.
Yeah, because an artist usually has a lot of tools in his toolbox. And so originally I had thought to make it really simple to project my design.
Yeah.
But being that this is Dominican Republic, there's not always an easy power outlet.
Yeah.
So where I was painting, there was no power outlet. And so I basically just kind of did it freestyle from the drawing amongst like rain, sun. I mean, there were days that I had to cover it up and tie it with rope, like not even real ropes, but actual like tree branches.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I had to do whatever I had to because I wanted to stay on schedule for the 3 days.
Yeah.
It was very important for me to not lose any of the time at the Batez and doing things like that. So
you had a chance to take a real personal skill of yours and you use that talent in service to the community. I think not only did you leave a piece of art there for the community to enjoy for a long, long time, but you also shared, I think, maybe a little different exchange with the residents that were there. Can you talk a little about the interactions you had with the people of the Dominican Republic while you were painting the mural?
It was one of the most beautiful experiences I had, actually. People were coming by, blessing me. They were bringing me coffee, food. There was people on bikes. For instance, there was some old men that had these motorcycles that had license plates with faded letters. So they would drive by and they'd be like, can you fix this? And so I would fix it. And then like
paint their license plate
over.
Yeah,
10 minutes later, three more would show up and bring like a croqueta, you know, which is like a food, like a chicken kind of a thing. And so it was beautiful. I mean, there was nuns coming by. They would speak of the mural and they were saying that it was a real gift to the Dominican Republic to be able to kind of show a different side and to have this art up and being painted, that it was kind of like a good momentum for a lot more art to come.
Yeah, they were obviously very receptive and appreciative of your talents that you shared through that mural. So that's a great opportunity for you.
Yeah, even the kids that, you know, they wake up at 7 a.m. and they go out there and they hustle, shining shoes, they're doing whatever they can all day long. They would come by and they were like, could we help you paint it? And I'm like, well, I don't have much money, but I can give you whatever I have in my pocket. And they're like, we don't want no money. Yeah. We just want to be a part of the project. And that really shows a real compassionate side in the people and, you know, the willingness to work together to see something of an ideal kind of inspire them, especially the younger generations. I think it really, that perspective and just being a part of that is kind of life-changing on its own.
So, Keith, your group prepared a video that really kind of provides a nice glimpse into what your trip was like and what you did down there. Can you tell those listening where they can find that video? And obviously, we'll post it to our Facebook site, but can you share that?
Yes, you can find the video at http://bit.ly/FS Public Health.
Okay. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little about, did Dr. Perez share with you at all? What's the future hold for this project? Is he planning on leading other trips to the Dominican Republic? If so, how can people get more information?
I'm pretty positive that he's planning future trips to the DR, especially trying to base efforts based off the sustainability development goals. I know from talks with him, one of the new ideas was meeting with a orphanage. I guess he got contacted about an orphanage out there. So next year, there will probably be interactions with children.
And if anybody wants more information, they can contact Dr. Miguel Perez at Fresno State. Maybe we'll post a link to his email address or something like that. But Miguel is in the public health department at Fresno State, and I'm sure he'd be happy to share more information if anybody's interested in learning more about the future trips and maybe even helping to support it. Because it's not cheap, right? You all had to pay your own way, travel costs and program costs. So just out of curiosity, how much was it approximately for each of you individually?
About $2,100.
So, you know, that's for a student. That's not easy to come by. So last question. If somebody asked you in a few words or a short sentence why they should go on an international service learning trip or why the trip is such a valuable thing, what would you say to them?
I would say it's a life-changing experience.
It's a humbling experience. And, you know, what I think I gained most out of it was that you haven't fully lived until you have helped somebody who will never be able to repay you. We went and we provided everything that we could provide. We took money out of our pockets to feed people in the Batay because we saw how dire their circumstances were. And we clothed babies up to the elderly. We provided toys for entertainment and books, you know, for at least a little extra education, because we saw kids during the day at home when they should have been in school, which is an understandable thing because not every family in a Batay can afford to send their child to a school because of the cost, you know, because of transportation or because of the cost of education.
Can't afford a book, can't afford a toy, you know.
Yeah. So just the thought of going and helping change lives, you know, we went with in our mind, you know, we're going to go and we're going to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And we did go and accomplish what we want to accomplish. And therefore, you know, we did our job.
Danny, how about you? Was there anything you'd say to convince somebody that this would be a valuable experience for them?
Well, they said most of what I would say. But yeah, being that there is a growth and change in your own perspectives, and you kind of develop a different mindset. And I think it's a really good mindset because it provides kind of a really positive lasting effect on your life.
Yeah, like Keith said, I think these are life-changing.
Something I would like to add is we got to experience it with Danny on this trip, is that don't think just because you're not a public health student or you're not part of that department that you don't have something amazing to add. Because I'm pretty sure I speak for everyone on that trip that Danny added something so unique.
Yeah.
And the experience was amazing for all of us to be able to witness.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think everybody has unique time, talents, treasure that they can give to others. Kind of what you talked about, Allie, that, you know, it's to give something to somebody who will never be able to repay you. And you're not looking to be repaid for that. That's a very special experience. I know we've done a few shows on Fresno State's international service learning trips to Fiji and Tanzania, and now this one to the Dominican Republic. And, you know, they're time-intensive projects to plan. You know, they're costly for the students. But the impact they have on students who participate and on the faculty members, it's just extraordinary. My thanks to Dr. Perez for making the experience possible for so many students, including the three of you. And, you know, also our thanks to Keith and Alejandra and Danny for being such great international ambassadors for Fresno State. And that's about it for our time together. So thanks again to our guests, Alejandra Zarate, Danny DeMesa, and Keith Burgess. And thanks to our listeners out there for joining us this morning. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Also, don't forget, like us on Facebook. Check out that Facebook site. We'll post the video there. We'll post a bunch of great pictures. And you can find that at FS Service in Action. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at KFSR.org. Thanks, and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.